about me that she never knew before.
Well, yeah. I'm not sure, actually, in terms of the cloud of witnesses, how much they actually know or don't know. They're not, you know, even in heaven, we don't know everything. Yeah. This is still a process, so I think they're often assigned to those that they recognize their mandate to be outworked in, and sometimes I think that's could be family members, but it not necessarily, because you know all our destinies are different. But I'm not sure that there is the cloud of witnesses are what's the word know everything or omniscient. I think otherwise they'd be God, and they're not God. So there's a whole eternity in which we will engage with God and learn more about Him. But they are certainly surrounding us and cheering us on, and I think there are specific ones who do associate with particular areas of our lives and ministries and different things. And it's certainly something which, you know, is being unveiled, and you know, sometimes they do show up in our meetings and show up in places because they recognize something. You know, and they want to participate, and they want to pass the baton and mantles to us, and they have a lot of revelationary understanding from their own lives and ministries to help. And some of it is helping us not make the same mistakes that they did. You know, but they obviously have a role to play, and I think that role has probably been sidelined or marginalized by the sort of traditional religious things where, you know, you can't engage with them because they're dead. Well, their spirits are alive. So they're not actually dead. They're alive, and they want us to engage with them. And I think they have a desire much more than probably we do. So, yeah. Awesome. Okay, so have you guys got any other things you want to talk about today?
Well, I've been thinking about how do you engage with the cloud of witnesses, with the seven spirits of God, the angels, you know, when you don't really see them. I heard Justin Abraham about, I think he just once said, just greet them or something. So that's what I started to do. And I see them at times, but I don't see them all the time. So it's how do you engage when you don't see them?
Okay. Well, some of my encounters with men in white linen, cloud of witnesses, you know, lots of different names for them, have been completely involuntary, and they came to me. My experience there was one of, I was in heaven and I was engaged in something, and I think the first time I ever met one, Jacob was who I met, and Jacob came and began to speak to me and began to show me some things, tell me some things, tell me to go and explore certain areas of his life in Genesis, and that there would be revelation there. So I did, which is one aspect of it where it's not in your control, it just happens. There's also the court of the upright, that you can engage in heaven, where the cloud of witnesses are, and I've been there and seen how I saw it. It was like a big sort of enormous galleries and galleries of these witnesses, but I saw 12 thrones that there were 12 different ones on, and they were had mantles and flaming torches that they wanted to pass on. And that was particularly to do with the ministry that we have. And they all had a particular experiences that they wanted to participate in what we were doing and invest or trade into what we were doing. And so we need to engage them. And we're only just starting to look at how we do that ourselves. But I have been to that court and I have seen them. I also desired in my heart to see some. And God responds to the desires of our heart. And where the desires of our heart are aligned with our destiny and our scroll, then it's much more likely that those desires will begin to get unreleased and unfurled, if you like. And so I specifically had a desire to follow up my encounter with Jacob, having gone back and learnt some things from his life. I wanted to find out some more. And so I had a desire, and I stepped into heaven, and I let my desire take me to where Jacob was. And so that for me was an engagement. I also had a desire to see what it was like when Adam was created and what it was like there, and I had that desire, and I was able to meet with Adam and see some things there. So some of it came out of desire. I've gone into, let's say I've been gone into the treasury room in the mountain of God and saw Melchizedek, because he actually was there. I've also encountered Enoch. And again, that was an involuntary encounter. I didn't plan that one. But he, again, encouraged me to look into certain things in Scripture and to look into certain things. So there's different ways, I think, to engage with the cloud of witnesses. They have, you know, appeared in some of our meetings. I've seen them, and they've been watching and almost waiting for something to engage. I think some of it comes down to the motive of our hearts. We've got to make sure the motives of our heart are not coming out of curiosity or something which is not really coming out of what we need to engage with and how we need to engage. You know, so the seven spirits of God are different in one sense, because they are living creatures, created creatures, created by God to tutor us into sonship in our position of rulership. So again, you know, sometimes they do show up in meetings, and you get a different color, or you get a hue appear over a meeting, or you seem to have that. I've had the Spirit of the Lord appear in one of our leadership meetings in a corner, carrying a scales of justice in his hand and smiling, and that was an interesting encounter. I don't believe that you're going to engage the seven spirits of God effectively unless you're on your mountain, because they're wanting to tutor us in position of rulership. So unless we're ruling, then we're less likely to be able to engage with them. I went to a big big hall in the realm of heaven, which was like a training hall where you could sign up and enroll for being tutored with each of the seven spirits of God. So there's a place you can go and you can engage with them and sign up for that, I think. Again, I think it comes out of desire. Do I desire to rule effectively with righteousness and justice with wisdom? I think engaging wisdom opens us up to engage with the different areas, maybe wisdom's handmaidens, that will help us in our fulfilling our destiny and fulfilling the purposes of God for our lives. You know, I think in terms of angels, there's a difference between the guardian angels that we have around our lives in this realm and those that are assigned in the realms of heaven. So, you know, there's an angel assigned to our mountain throne that we need to engage with. You can engage with angels in the court of angels. Angels are messengers. God often uses angels to come and bring a message. The court of angels is really where you're looking for angels to volunteer to assignments that are a part of our destiny, and particularly when we have mandates to outwork. And again, it's part of stepping into that court by faith or by desire, and we step into the court of angels, particularly when we're operating in that sphere of authority. Angels tend to be those that guide us and direct us, and you know, when I first had my heavenly encounters, I met a lot of angels who just took me around. They seem to be who I first engaged with. We can also engage with the angelic realm around us by allowing our spirit to reach out into that realm of the spirit around us and give us revelation of what's there, show us, so we can be attuned to what the angelic realm is doing. Sometimes they come with an assignment from God. We need to understand what they're doing and cooperate with them. Sometimes they're waiting for us to direct them. If we're on our throne in heaven, there's a canopy of angels that are surround the throne of God, that when we're on our throne and he's on our throne, if you like, in us, they recognize authority and they come around us. So we need to learn to engage with the different, there's 10 different angels or the canopy of angels that we need to learn to engage with and understand what their functions are, like the seraphim or the burning ones. You know, they carry the coals from the altar and they're involved in transformation and other fiery things. You know, you've got the living creatures, which are the fiery horses, the fiery chariots, fiery swords, whirlwinds. They're all living creatures. Again, we can engage with them. The Kashmilim, the shining ones, usually engage with our worship as the sort of ribbons of light and color that swirl around us sometimes in worship. You know, there are different angels that are assigned different things. You know, most of them haven't got wings. You know, that's just a traditional way. But certainly the seraphim, cherubim had wings. They had 6 wings to cover their face and to cover themselves and to fly, sort of thing. But generally, you know, it's about the desire. If we're just curious and we want experiences, then that's the wrong motive. The angels are there as ministering spirits to those who will inherit salvation. And so they're there to help us in our mission. They're there to help us fulfill our destiny. So we really need to learn to cooperate and partner with them. And the more we practice that, the more we begin to sense what they're up to, and the more they're engaged with us. You know, and if we go to the court of angels with a mandate, then we look for those that will engage in that. And, you know, just as when God had a mission, you know, he went into the court of angels and he sort of said, I think it's when he was talking about Ahab, you know, who's we need to deal with Ahab, who's going to go, you know, and an angel volunteered to go. And so that's a pattern of what can happen when we have a mission and a mandate, that angels come and we can ask for volunteers, if you like. You know, we can assign angels to go before us in our own particular, our own guardian angels. Well, we need to work with them and actually ask them to be part of the ministry that we have and to help us in that ministry, and so to prepare the way, and we can send angels before us to prepare the way, to open up particular doors. You know, we can send angels into the atmosphere of the earth so that they can deal with and clear pathways for things to come into this realm, portals and openings for manifestations of glory in heaven to come into this realm. Lots of different things, really. You know, you don't have to see them visually to know that they're there. As long as you sense them, as long as you know in your spirit that they're there, then that's fine, you know. And I think, you know, our encounters sometimes can be a mixture of visual and non-visual and senses and impressions and perception and spiritual understanding of knowing. And that's the main thing. You know, I know that there are those realms of angels. Therefore, I can choose to operate from that knowledge that I have by faith and engage with them. Now, the more practiced we are, the easier it is to become attuned to those places, those senses, the realms of heaven, by stepping in and stepping out regularly, by, you know, if you're operating on a mountain and you're operating in authority there, then that level you should be able to engage and to really sense what the angelic realm is doing. You know, the cloud of witnesses, sometimes there is a connection in purpose. I can remember meeting my two grandchildren who my daughter had lost in miscarriages, and there was a specific function for that, in that I was able to release that here to her as a comfort to help her come into a sense of peace over it. I have had no desire to go back. I was taken there. I have had no desire in my heart to go back there, and so I haven't. You know, so I think a lot of it comes out of, if the desires of our heart are motivated and directed by our scroll, then we will begin to have many more encounters and engagement with things. You know, if we're just looking to have fun or just looking to hang out and do stuff, I think there's less likely that there will be strategic engagement. You know, and if we're open for God to bring us into new places and to open up new realms for us, then I think angels are often involved in that process to help us. So, yeah. And if that helps.
Thank you. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, okay. Have you got anything, Regina, you want to talk about?
Not really. I just would be open or wanting to practice also more. And
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's look to step into that realm and to look to engage there. I think it would be good to go and experience something of God's presence in that realm of heaven and connect particularly with Him. So let's focus on that. I'd encourage you again just to begin to fix your eyes on Jesus. Just close your eyes and quieten your heart. Just begin to again picture that first love gate and sense the presence of God waiting to encounter you. And as you open that first love gate, just feel His presence. Just feel the joy of His presence. Just begin to sense His pleasure around you, His affirmation, His love and joy and peace. And just sense Jesus take you by the hand And he's going to lead you now back through that doorway into the realms of heaven. He's going to take you through those dimensions and through the veils into the realm of heaven. And I believe he just wants you to engage in the river of life, that place and source of life that flows from him. So I'd encourage you just to immerse yourself in that river. It's flowing from him. It has life within it. If you can sense what's in the river around you, just look and see and sense by your spirit what may be in the river for you today to engage with. Now the river has no resistance. It can flow through you. You can flow with it. And I believe Jesus just wants you to flow with the river. We're going to flow up the river to where the waterfalls are. And he just wants to lead you to a beautiful place where there's just waterfalls cascading down. So that you can just come under the waterfall of his presence. And under that waterfall, just want you to feel the deep things of God calling to your desires of your heart. Just begin to feel the sound and the vibration and the energy of that waterfall. Just sense the drawing and the longing. Because it's flowing out of his heart, it's flowing out of his life. It's flowing, cascading down. The energy and the power of it flow through you. Now he wants us to just come up that waterfall. I just want you to sense the sense of expectancy as we go up the waterfall. Just flow up. Just allow your thoughts to take you up the waterfall. So we're going to go up into the realm of heaven. Presence of God. Now I want you to look ahead, and ahead of you in that river is the tree of life. And that tree of life has scrolls for leaves. It has fruit. Just approach the tree of life and just see what fruit you're drawn to. You can reach out and you can eat that fruit. And as you do, just sense the impartation of that fruit to your very innermost being. Sense an impartation that's going to touch you deeply with a fresh sense of life and vibrancy and expectancy. There are scrolls there for you. Just feel free to take a scroll. You can look at it, you can eat it and take it inside you. Just sense what Jesus would have you do with the scroll. Now I want you to look beyond the tree, and you can just walk right through to the river beyond. And this river flows to the throne of grace, where you can come boldly to that throne to obtain all the help you need. And Father is on his throne. It's not on his throne in the throne room. He's on the throne of grace. And he welcomes you, reaches down and lifts you up onto his lap, where you can begin to feel his heartbeat, the rhythm of his heart. Feel safe and secure in his arms. Feel his joy and pleasure in your presence. Just feel his mercy being released. Now just release to him right now your needs. Just release to him the deepest desires of your heart, those areas where you need his help. Those things that you may have been carrying, those responsibilities that may have felt heavy, just cast all your burdens onto him. Just cast them onto him. Feel the lightness as the weight just lifts. Feel that joy, that peace, that rest in his arms. I sense he wants you to feel his presence like the lion. And in sensing his presence like the lion, you sense his strength. You sense his sense of rest, the security it is to be lying with the lion. He senses power to change and transform the situations around your life. But he is so at peace himself that you feel the overwhelming sense of peace, drawing you deeper and deeper into rest. Just begin to breathe the atmosphere of peace and rest, the atmosphere of glory. Breathe it deep within. Just sense what it's like to see from the perspective of the lion, mighty and strong, peaceful and at rest. Just breathe it in. Just let it touch every fiber, every atom, every particle of your being. Now I believe he just wants you to begin to see from his perspective, to see new horizons, new vistas, new realms, new opportunities that are opening. From that place of rest and deep, deep intimacy, just let the desires of your heart begin to be released creatively. So I believe he just wants to take you to the arc of his presence, to look into his will for your life, that you can begin to resonate and release the lion's roar from your innermost being. That kingly roar that calls you and beckons you to kingship, that calls and beckons you to see from the perspective of his kingship as you look into his depths. Feel the resonance, the frequency of his voice calling you to view, look through the eyes of the lion, to speak through the mouth of the lion into your life. Jesus would begin to take you by the hand, and he wants to take you to the heights in the realm of the kingdom, to your mountains, and he wants to show you the mountains of your destiny, your spheres of authority. Just begin to feel and sense the names of the mountains, those kingdom calls, that destiny revealed. Just see which mountain calls out to you, draws you. See the throne on the mountain and just view, feel, what is it like? Is there anything there? Is there anything you need to deal with there? Just be open to sense the different mountains now. Be enthroned. Believe Jesus would enthrone you there. Release to you the crown and the scepter and the robe, the mantle. Just feel. Invested with authority to rule. Just sense. His authority passed to you, delegated to you to rule. Just feel free to stay in any place on this journey. You might feel you want to stay in a particular place. But I feel as you receive the investiture of authority, that he wants to take you to the scroll room, to give you greater insight onto the different scrolls and mandates associated with his rule through you on those mountains. So just let him take you by the hand and lead you to that record room, to the scroll room. Just see your scrolls. As he leads you to your scroll, just sense something revealed to you as it's opened that's going to take you into a new season. It's going to reveal something fresh and new. Now, associated with what's been revealed on your scroll, Jesus wants to take you to the wine room. And in the wine room, in the mountain of God, there are bottles that are the record of those who have gone before and of those whose record will help in the outworking of your destiny. And just sense the bottle that he would lead you to and begin to drink the wine that contains the record of that life and that which would be imparted to you to help you fulfill your destiny. Feel the impartation. Feel the revelation going into your spirit. Now I believe he would just take you again by the hand, and he's going to take you through some dimensions in the realm of heaven to the mantle room. And in the mantle room there are rows and rows and rows of fresh new mantles. He will lead you to the mantle that will enable you to outwork what he's revealed to you today. Just feel as you are able to have that mantle placed over you, the color and the sound and the fragrance and the frequency that comes around you, that starts to realign you with your destiny, to realign you, spirit, soul, and body, to release a resonant frequency, a vibrational harmonic that's going to draw you. It's going to start directing you to new things in this new season. There's many things that your spirit has received that your mind and your emotions will have yet to have caught up with. So what I want to encourage you to do is from that place to take the testimonies of where you've been and let's come back and step into the garden of your own heart and just feel how free and fresh it is because your spirit has received new life, new revelation, fresh things. Feel free to take those things that you've received as seeds and to plant it by the river of life and water it with the river of life and speak life to it and see that tree grow, that seed produce fruit on that tree that becomes the record of your testimony that you can eat over and over again to receive deeper and deeper revelation of your experiences, gives you an anchor for those experiences that are in your own heart. It will begin to draw and lead your heart, the desires of your heart released as a tree of life there that you can take to your secret place of intimacy with Him, that you can meditate there around it, that your heart in that place will begin to be unfurled and unveiled, and the secret things that have been placed there in these encounters of the scroll and of the mantle and of the lion's heart will be doorways to both future heavenly encounters and doorways to earthly expression. Now you can just step back into this realm, carrying that sense of peace and rest with you. Okay. So, how did you get on with that? Anything stand out to you, any particular place? You know, just like, don't feel free. If you feel free to share or not to share, it's up to you. Don't. Sometimes these things are really precious and you just need to take them into your own heart. But if you'd like to share anything, feel free.
I think I was most touched in the wine room.
Yeah.
Although I don't know whose wine I drink, but something really happened there. And also the scroll that we received, and when I, you know, I ate it, I started to see new things. Yeah, it was really good. Giving me, yeah. It's something new that's coming.
Yeah.
New vision, new distances.
Yeah, that's good. Okay.
Yeah, for me it was also very, very good. I feel praying a lot concerning my scrolls, and I'm really open and hungry for it. I didn't see something particular, but I also failed to eat it. Although there's a deep longing also to see what God has afresh for me. What I felt on the mountains was something like truth. And I have still not so much vision, but I sense a lot. So the present, when it changes, it also glimpses that Jesus took me or so. Yeah, it's really longing of my heart to go on with this journey. Yeah.
Good. Excellent. Okay. Well, if you've got any other questions, I've got a few minutes left, or you can just leave it there.
It might be too long, I don't know. I was just looking again on the beautiful picture with the gates, and I've gone through that already several times, and I'm not sure if they are still blocking things. So, and in one of your blogs, you said just to go maybe each day one gate. So how much time would you spend there to wait until God maybe shows you or not showing you something? So it's not kind of that you push yourself too hard in a way. I don't know if you understand what I'm meaning. Just to wait, and if there's nothing coming, just how long would you wait or spend time to go into that?
Okay, I mean, if you're talking about like the gateways of your own spirit, soul, body, you spend more time in that season when you're developing a flow and you're looking to engage, understand who you are and your identity and those things. And so there's a place of intimacy there where you're looking for Jesus to reveal those gates and how they function in you. Once you've surrendered them to him and once you're sensing that sense of flow, you know, I very much I'm just led by my spirit. I wouldn't spend for me much time there at all now. I just open them and flow through. Sometimes I feel called to just go back and just think, okay, is there anything in my conscience? Is there anything in my imagination that you want to deal with? And I surrender again afresh to the fire of God's presence, allow his glory to come through and purify and refine. So long as there's a flowing of life, you know, it says in the word that we can be washed by the water of the word. So as the river of life is flowing and the spirit is flowing through me, then I have an expectation that that flow itself will cleanse. And I don't necessarily need to be conscious of that. I just allow that flowing, that cleansing of his glory to continually flow through me as I surrender and open up and look to see my spirit create an atmosphere around me. So it's all about a flow. And so I don't spend any time there other than if I feel my spirit is wanting to engage me, particularly if there's a sense of, if there's a lack of peace, or I'm feeling any sort of, maybe feeling any sort of weight, then I would certainly check and do a checkup to see, okay, is my heart okay? Are my emotions all right? You know, is there anything that may have just be hindrance or blockage? And I would do that. But mostly, you know, I want to engage in intimacy with him, so I go to the garden of my heart or go to the dance floor or the soaking room. In that, if I'm looking for that type of intimacy, my expectation is that if I receive life into my heart, then it's going to flow out of my heart, and it's going to flow through my soul and body and create a flow of life. We spend more time at the beginning when we're clearing the gateways, opening the gateways, understanding them, than you do once those things are open. And so my encouragement would be, don't try to find things, just allow the Spirit to bring a sense of peace or lack of peace. And if you're sensing peace and rest, then there's no need really to go looking around too much. If you're sensing lack of peace or a lack of rest, or you're feeling weary or you're feeling heavy, then okay, have I taken something on that I shouldn't have done? Is there something that's causing that? Then I think that's a good place to ask God to show you. You know, if you ask Him to show you, if there's anything He wants to deal with, and He doesn't give you any revelation, then don't wait. You know, it now is just for me. It's like those things are open. I don't really need to open them. I open the first love gate, and I just let the flow of life begin to flow through them. You know, I do the same when I engage heaven with presenting myself as a living sacrifice. I don't linger on any particular area unless I feel directed to. So, you know, I present myself to Jesus as my high priest, and I say to Him every day, I'm here to serve you today. I want to worship you with my service. If there's anything that you need to do to prepare me to serve you today, then you do that. Remove any skin, you know, open me up, remove any, you know, thoughts and intentions of the heart. You know, show me. You know, I'm open. And if He does, then I'll look to deal with it. If He doesn't, then I look to engage around the ark and find out, okay, what does He want me to do today? You know, I spent much more time in the beginning developing the pathway. Now it's a developed pathway. I trust in my relationship with Him that He will reveal, because I open myself. I'm available for Him to search me every day and trust that He is going to remove those things that are hindrances as I surrender to Him. He's the one who has to do the removing anyway. He's the high priest. He prepares me. As I break bread every day, as I partake of that, I am expecting that that's going to be transformation. That will be dealing with bloodline and seed line as I surrender my DNA and for Him. So, you know, it's a lifestyle then that He is totally free to do everything He needs to do in my life. But I focus mostly on intimacy and relationship, and then looking for where He wants me to rule and what He wants me to do, and trust that if there's anything hindering that, He's going to show me, both flowing inside out and outside in. And so I can relax. You know, the more relaxed I am, the more at rest I am, the more at rest I am, the more I can flow out of a sense of rest and peace. And, you know, if I take His yoke upon me, which I do every day, then I expect Him to lead me to the right place. And I just trust that He will, you know. So, yeah, that's that. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. It's always so encouraging. Wow.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah.